It is a pleasure to bring in Henry Schulman, at Hank Schulman on Twitter. Of course, Henry covered baseball in the Bay Area for many, many, many years. He knows the game and is now retired from that. But still, I love talking ball with Henry, following on Twitter as well. Henry, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Marty.
Good. Hey, did you survive Peacock last night? Now, I say this because you were on Twitter about it. The games are not on Fox or not on Comcast. It's on streaming NBC Peacock for the weekend. So how you doing with it?
Well, the next time I see Wade's play throwing out Harper will be the first time I see it. And the next time I see Belt's home run will be the first time I see it, because the picture blacked out, as it did for many other people. I think it was it worked okay for some people. It was a complete disaster for other people, and I still maintain that this whole thing is idiotic. If you want to stream, if you want to offer your game on the streaming service, that's fine. Go ahead and do that, but don't make it exclusive and, you know, screw the people who just want to watch a ball game by flipping on their TV that they're already paying for.
What kind of reactions did you get from your followers?
Oh, my God. The best were the memes. I mean, there were all sorts of memes, the technical difficulty memes and things like that. You know, there's always a couple of people who say, you know, sorry to hear you can't handle modern technology, Grandpa, which, you know, just, you know, people are going to be people. But most of the people kind of agreed with me. And, you know, a lot of people were upset that they couldn't watch the game. A lot of people talked about how they had to call their parents and try and talk them through signing up for Peacock and didn't get to watch the game. And it turned out to be a pretty good game that a lot of people didn't see. And I enjoyed most of it, listening to the dulcet tones of Dave Fleming and the very knowledgeable Randy Wynn on The Sports Leader.
Yeah, Randy Wynn was on last night. Boy, a little different.
He's
broadcast.
Good.
With Dave and Randy, you know, you get so
–
it's interesting. We'll touch on this for a second. But you get so used to listening to a broadcast of John and Dave the way they do it, and then you bring someone else in, and it's totally different because Randy commented on everything, and it was a different kind of broadcast last night.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure that I wouldn't be the first to tell Randy this. There's a difference between doing television and radio. In television, you don't have to actually describe the play. So the play-by-play guy isn't talking all the time. And you generally want the color guy to kind of chime in on what he sees after every pitch or play. I think on radio, because the play-by-play guy is talking almost constantly, it helps to just sort of take a step back as the color guy and maybe not, you know, comment on every pitch, because then it sort of just gets a little too full. There's just a little too much to listen to. And I think Randy has done more television than radio. And that's something that just comes. I mean, he is so incredibly knowledgeable. Yeah. Everything he said was just spot on the mark. And when you get a commentator who played the game and is just so articulate in his ability to sort of describe what he's seeing on the field, it can only be a good thing. And I hope Randy gets many more opportunities, you know, if not on the Giants broadcast, somewhere.
Yeah, he's going to be on all weekend. And it was different with Dave. And Dave and Randy engaged, and it was more of a discussion. So it was getting used to it. But, yeah, your point is well taken, very well taken, Henry. Henry Schulman joins us. Bill Lasky, good morning. Bill, how are you?
I'm good, Marty, Henry, both of you. Hopefully you're both cooling off, as the weather is sure getting warm on the peninsula and where you are,
goodness,
Marty.
Yeah.
And it's definitely heating up at Oracle Park. Henry, tell me your thoughts with this momentum. They all of a sudden surged on this offensive side since they got home.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a bunch of guys who are missing, and even when you don't have a bunch of guys who are missing, look at the Padres. The Padres pretty much have their whole team, and they've went into, you know, a huge scoring drought. You're going to have spells like that where you don't hit. And, you know, I mean, you got to look at that series in Washington. Obviously, there's two ways you could have looked at it. On the positive side, they scored three runs and split the series. I think it was three runs, and they split the series. You know, on the negative side, they scored three runs. You know, they pitched as well as they did, and they split the series. But they came home. You know, they obviously feasted on a really terrible Diamondbacks team. And, you know, they do have confidence at Oracle Park. And I think this is something we talked about starting really 2 years ago or last year's, you know, especially. This has not been a hitter's park, and it gets into your head. And now they realize that they can hit it at Oracle Park. And these guys just love being home, and just watching them, it's just really interesting after all these years of coming into a ball game and expecting that the Giants were going to win. If they were going to win, it was going to be 3-1 or 4-2.
Yeah, really, really different. And following up what Bill just said about the momentum, I see like and they're evolving. They're getting so much confidence now. And you go back to the Yastrzemski Grand Slam. You know, you build off games like that. Henry, these guys think they can win all the time. And it's Wade, it's Duggar, it's Vosler. He can swing the bat. And then you still have the veterans doing it. But I'm seeing, as Bill just pointed out, a real evolution of this ball club happening right before us.
Yeah, I mean, you have a bunch of guys like the guys you mentioned, Wade, Vosler, Talkman, and then if you go back 2 years, Yastrzemski. You know, there has to be some doubt when you've been in the minor leagues as long as some of these guys have. Be a little bit of doubt whether you can hit consistently in the major leagues, because let's face it, the four guys I mentioned, there was a reason they weren't in the major leagues, and they've all come here to some extent. Talkman has, you know, I mean, he's had some big hits, but he still hasn't really been consistent at the plate. But they come in here, they work with these young hitting coaches, and they have a little bit of success. And you know, Bill can speak to this. Once you do it on a major league, at the major league level, once you realize that, you know, you're good enough to hit the pitchers who've been here for a while, and you're good enough to, as a pitcher, to blow the ball past hitters who have been here for a while. Now in your mind, you know, you belong here. And Wade, I think, I mean, as good a defensive player as he is, and as good a, you know, a pitch watcher as he is from the leadoff spot, I honestly think Wade could be the next Yastrzemski. Mm-hmm. I really do.
You know, Henry, the bullpen was always a question mark in the beginning of the year. Who was going to fill the bridge between the starter and the closers? And all of a sudden now we have Alvarez throwing well. Menez has been throwing well. But the two guys that really have opened my eyes is Littell and especially Leon last night. He was fabulous throwing sliders to lefties and blowing them away. Have you seen emergence from these four guys?
Yeah, I have. You know, I'm a little bit hesitant now with the, you know, the spin rates going down you know, the performance changes that we're going to see occurring when guys can't put anything on the baseball. We've seen the effect already. I mean, you know, Menez the other night, he had a bad game. You looked at his spin rates and they were down, you know, considerably with both the fastball and the slider. And you have to kind of look at that and realize some of these pitchers are going to have to adapt. But that's going to be a league-wide thing. And I think that, you know, this front office has done a good job of identifying talented relief pitchers, guys who maybe are a little undervalued somewhere else and can come up here and, you know, do a good job with a little bit of, you know, proper coaching and confidence. And I don't think the bullpen is the issue that it was in the beginning of the season. Although I will say, I think that if they're serious about winning the division, and obviously they are, I still think they're going to have to go out and get some experience back end relief help. I mean, Rogers is fantastic. You know, McGee has been really good, but, you know, McGee is a guy who really is a one pitch pitcher. He's trying to, incorporate the slider a little more, but he's a guy you can't use too often or else he loses a little bit of effectiveness off that slider. I don't think you have to go out and get a quote unquote bona fide closer, but I think it would help them to go out and get a pitcher or two who have had experience pitching in the eighth and ninth inning down the stretch in a pennant race.
Boy, you think Farhan will do that, Henry? Is it a sign of weakness? Because you know how they love to, you know, find the undervalued pitcher and, you know, figure out the analytics and bring him in, and whether it's Wade and Vosler, Leon, or whoever else, Littell, as Bill points out, or Menez. It's going to take a jump for Farhan to say, okay, I'm going to go out and get an established player. I'm not so sure he wants to do that.
Yeah, but, you know, I look at the Dodger model, and, you know, for years they weren't doing that either because they, you know, they pretty much were doing the same thing in the way they developed their team. But once it became clear that they were World Series contenders, then they went out and spent the money and made the moves to get the relief help. I think we're talking about two different I don't want to say eras because that's too long, but we're kind of two different times here for the Giants. There's the rebuild time, and then there's the time to compete for a ring. And I don't know if they feel they can compete for a ring this year, but I think that all general managers, including a guy like Farhan, know that you have to reward people in the room when they have a season like this by doing everything in your power to bring in the best people who can help you kind of finish the job. And I don't think that they're going to give up any kind of major minor league talent to get anybody, whether it's a bat or a pitcher. But I kind of disagree with your sentiment that it's a pride thing to be able to, you know, get all this undervalued talent and they don't want to go out and actually get somebody who, you know, is a known guy. I think they will.
Henry Schulman joining Marty and I on Talking Baseball this morning. Henry, a couple IL people coming off the IL, Dickerson and Ruff, and now they're starting to say they might push it back a little bit, get them some at-bats in AAA. Do you think this is something they need to start doing? Because some of the other times they brought Yaz right off the bench and threw him right in the lineup, and it was difficult for him to adjust. Do you think they'll start doing that?
You know, I mean, I don't know because I haven't asked. But it, I mean, I thought the same thing as you. I mean, Belt struggles, you know, Belt's been out, and then he comes back without any minor league at bat and he struggles. They really have they didn't have the choice last year because there were no minor leagues. You know, you could send a guy to the, alternate camp for a couple of days. But I think the key thing here is that, the guys who are replacing Dickerson and Ruff are doing a heck of a job. Mm-hmm. And, you don't have the urgency to get these guys back. So, yeah, I think it would be a good idea to have Dickerson go down to Sacramento and get some at-bats and Ruff to get some. I do think they miss Ruff. Honestly, I think they miss Ruff more than Dickerson. You know, Slater has done an okay job, but he's cooled off a little bit. And as we saw earlier in the season, you know, Ruff is a very commanding presence. When you're facing a left-handed pitcher, the team that is, you know, the other team really has to concentrate on him in the middle of the lineup. And I think it would behoove the Giants to get him back as quickly as possible. But, yeah, the way they're playing right now, what's the urgency to rush them back without getting them a few at-bats in the minors?
No, I agree with you. I think they're going to do it just for that reason. I think Dickerson will go down and get some at-bats, rough too. I think that's going to happen because the way these guys are playing. Henry, how good is this team? Now, you look at the way they're playing, and they're eating up guys like Velasquez, any pitcher who – Merrill Kelly, 48 pitches in one inning. They're applying the principles. Don't chase. Get the pitch count up. Make sure you throw strikes. How good can these guys be? Because they're chewing up anyone who's a sort of a marginal pitcher. You can kiss them goodbye.
Yeah, you know, Marty, it reminds me of the old Willie Mays saying, you know, I mean, he'd go up against the ace and the ace could have his, but it was the other guy he was going to get his 4-for-4 against. And, I think you just look at how the Giants, I mean, there's a lot of dreck in this league right now. I think you can all agree. I mean, somebody pointed out that the Diamondbacks had lost 22 straight or 23 straight road games and they didn't even have the worst road record in the majors. And the Orioles at the same time had a 19 game road. I mean, there's just a lot of bad teams in the majors this year. And the key to when you ask is a team good, you want to see that they can hold their own at home, hold their own on the road, hold their own on against the best teams, and then just decimate everybody else. And that's exactly what the Giants are doing. They have a winning record against the Padres. They had a great comeback against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium after the Dodgers came up to San Francisco and swept. They took 3 of 4 from an extremely hot Cubs team when they were in here. And then you get a team like the Diamondbacks, who are just terrible. They came to San Francisco, and the Giants just stepped on their throat. And that, to me, is a sign. That to me, is the best argument to say this is for real, and this is a good team. And yes, you're right. When you are have the ability to command the strike zone on both ends from a pitching standpoint and a hitting standpoint, and you're able to do it consistently, you're going to be in every game. And it, as you recall from the Washington series, the hitters didn't do that. The hitters came out of their game plan. They were swinging a lot of pitches out of the zone early in the count, and we saw what happened. And I don't know why it happened at that particular moment, but it did, and you saw the result.
Henry, last weekend, Marty Carey and I were excited about Brandon Crawford breaking the all games played at shortstop. This week, he got his 10 years in the big league level. Less than 10% players do that. And it was all with the San Francisco Giants. You watch Brandon Crawford as a rookie come up. You saw the grand slam he hit. Tell me your thoughts of how much he has graduated from the first day till now and what your thoughts are on him.
Well, he had a grand slam in his first game to beat the Brewers, so I think it had to be all downhill from there, right? It might sound impossible, but he actually got better as a shortstop, and he was good to begin with. I mean, he was really good to begin with. But when you play in the majors, the more you play in the majors, the more you start to learn the tendencies of the other hitters, the tendencies of your own pitchers. I think that's something that may not come naturally to a guy who's in the minor leagues or in college. And I think he does that as well as anybody. And, you know, I think one thing that the, ordinary fans don't watch is, as the pitch is thrown, you will see Brandon start to shift to his left or his right because he knows the pitcher, he knows the pitch he's throwing, and he knows the hitter's tendency. And that little movement, that little twitch to his left or his right, can be the difference between getting a hard ground ball and not getting a hard ground ball. And that's one of those underrated, underspoken things that he does as well as anybody. He still has, at the age of 30, I think for 34, he still has one of the best arms of any shortstop I've seen in this league. And, he adapted as a hitter when he had to, just like a lot of these guys. You know, you can be a little stubborn about your hitting, about your stance and about your approach. And I think all of these guys, Crawford, Longoria to some degree, even Posey, they got to the point where they said, look, the way I'm doing it isn't working. So if you want me to try it your way, young Mr. Hitting Coach, let's see what happens. And their openness to that has really just benefited the team, and probably more so with Crawford than anybody.
Boy, wait till Longoria comes back. I mean, this team has got a lot ahead of it. We haven't even talked about him and La Stella. There's going to be a whole different look. But Steven Duggar, for me, Henry, Bill, I love the kid. I'm just so glad for him, and he's tried for a few years to make it in the big leagues up and down. And I think he's made it. He looks like a different player to me. I think Duggar is one of the best stories of the year.
Yeah, and I think that he was always on the verge, and right when he was on the verge, he got hurt. He had that sort of soft, that rubbery shoulder that he messed up every time he dove. I haven't, I think the commentators, Kruko and Kuiper, bless his heart, and the guys who played the game, they're telling me when they're on the air that they're seeing swings from Duggar and contact from Duggar that even when he was going well earlier in his career, he wasn't making contact with the baseball. So he's made some adjustments as well. And look, any time you have a hitter like that who has a combination of speed and power, and the ability to run and play defense and hit the ball at high exit velocity, if you will, that's a good commodity to have. I do think we need to see a little bit more time, a little bit more out of him to make sure it's the real deal. He did go into a little, and I think this is actually key. I mean, he went into a slump there for a while, and then he got out of it. And I think that, that's as big a thing as anything. Once you start to struggle and figure it out and you can adapt without it becoming like an 8-for-62 is a really good sign.
Henry, Mike Tauchman was really struggling at the offensive side. He struggled on that last road trip. He's really hitting under 200, and I think some of these players have now moved ahead of him. We talk about Duggar. We talk about Lamont Wade Jr. Now the guy's coming off the bench. I know you didn't get to watch the game yesterday, but he came up with a whole different batting stance yesterday, still grounded out to first. I think they're trying to work some things out with him. Do you think this is a guy that's going to fight to get back in this playing field? Because I tell you what, these other guys are going right past him.
Yeah, you know, look, you don't know, okay? Again, you know, Talkman is a guy who, you know, was kind of on the fringes of the major leagues, and he's gotten into that slump that we talked about with Duggar and hasn't been able to get out of it. I did not actually see, you're right, I didn't see how his stance was different, but I think that whenever they change a guy's stance like that, I think the key when a guy is struggling at the plate is to allow him to see the ball deeper into the zone and then put a good, make a good pass through the zone with the ball there. And it's not easy to do. And it's going to be a wait and see thing. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Lamont Wade has certainly passed him, in that regard. And I mean, right now, if I'm the Giants, fans, whatever the team, I want to see Lamont Wade in the leadoff spot as much as I possibly can, even against left-handed pitching.
Yep, see if he's the real deal. I think Talkman needs a trip down Interstate 80. if they're going to mess around with his stance.
To the nut tree?
Yeah, I think he's going to have to go past Vacaville to keep going to Johnny Doskow. Johnny Doskow will meet him.
He'll welcome him.
Yeah. At Raleigh Field.
Bill remembers the nut tree. I don't know about
I
you.
Do. Yeah,
of course.
I sure do.
Yeah, the milk tree, the nut tree, was all that up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs a trip down I-80. That's my opinion. Yeah. Henry, it's great to have you on as we wrap it up with you. It's a pleasure to have you on always, really. Juneteenth today is being celebrated, of course, in the country. It's a federal holiday now and also in baseball. Do you have any thoughts about it?
Well, I do. I mean, we still live in a society that has not fully reckoned with its past, and no more so than baseball. I mean, you know, baseball has a very, very wretched past in terms of treating African American players. You've seen what's happened even now, even in modern times, with the steady decline in the number of African Americans who are picking baseball over other sports. And I think anything baseball can do to try and right the wrongs of the past, whether societally or even within the game itself, is a good thing. And I think this is an important holiday. I mean, when you think about the fact that President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, it was 2.5 years later before the word even got down to some parts of the country and the slaves were actually freed. I mean, that when you think about that, that's more years lost to this horrible, horrible thing that we had in this country. And I'm looking forward to seeing the different uniforms and whatnot. And I'm actually, you know, a lot of people kind of rolled their eyes, but I'm actually happy that baseball is recognizing the Negro Leagues as a major league and adding those statistics on there. It's going to add some hits and home runs for certain guys. And I think we do need to recognize that these leagues were as good as the major leagues. And some of these guys who were not allowed to play in baseball, organized baseball, all those decades, would have been some of the greatest players in the game.
I agree with you. I'm glad you said that. I agree with everything you said. And nice job, Texas, right? Nice job. Nice job.
Yeah, let's not go there. They're still living in 1860. They have not. Texas has not recognized the end of the Civil War yet.
No. So it took the federal troops into Galveston, Texas, to get the word and to free the enslaved African Americans. Amazing, Henry. Love having you on as always. You're such a welcome guest, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Henry.
All right, anytime. Bye,
All
Bill.
Right. All right, that is the great Henry Schulman. What a pleasure. You know, Bill, I've always said Henry should have his own show.
He should. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's good. What do you got coming up?
Well, I finally reached down memory lane. I picked up a player, Randy Lurch. He was a teammate of mine, and we talk about the Phillies when he played there for 5 years and their four National League East titles and how hard it was to pitch with Philly. And then we talk a little bit a couple years when he played with the Giants and something that he did Once he got out of baseball, he wrote a book called God in the Bullpen. It was about addiction of drugs and alcohol when he was playing. Barry Bloom, Marty, one of your buddies, wrote perhaps the greatest tell-all baseball book since Jim Boughton Ball 4. So we're going to talk about Randy.
Did he write that with Randy? Did Barry
Bloom?
Barry wrote it with Randy?
No, Barry wrote a little sequel after he wrote the book, and he talked about it. So it was pretty cool, Barry Bloom reaching out and saying that. That's big words from Barry. And we're going to talk a little bit of that with Randy Lurch coming up next.
Ah, very good. Okay, I'll look forward to that. I don't even remember Randy Lurch as a Giant, though. Do you?
Yeah, 83-84. He was a teammate of mine, a left-handed reliever, spot starter. Had a few good years with the Phillies when they won the National League East. A young hard thrower, tall. He's from Sacramento, so he's a homegrown boy.
Could he hit?
Oh, my goodness, could he hit? He had four home runs. He had over 200. He had two home runs against the Pirates one game, won the game for him. So, yeah, some good stuff out of Randy coming up next.
Yeah, that's what I remember. He could hit. All right. Take a drink. He could hit. All right.
That's
very
right.
Good.
That's right. Take a drink, Marty.
All right. We got Aaron Nola, Alex Wood today. A beautiful day around the Bay Area and a very important day at the ballpark today. So enjoy it. I know the family's listening. Evan, Robin, Lolly, Alana, Noah, Ruby, Bonnie, Greg, and everybody else, and Aaron as well. All right. More coming up right here at KMBR 680, 104.5, the Sports League.